talk a little bit more about that, but they went on to Europe, they toured, they were in the UK, and everything just kind of unfortunately started falling apart due to a lot of factors. But this album, honestly, I think it's the best they sound on a studio album. I really like Back in the USA. It's got some amazing songs, but this one just, you know, High Time just, I think, sonically sounds better.
You know, that Skunk, sonically speaking, has a reference to a song which we might get to later, but we'll talk about that as the show goes on. Before that, we heard one of the most bizarre songs the band ever put out, The Human Being Lawnmower, from Back in the USA. Now, this was their effort to have a cleaner studio sound, definitely with these short, quick songs. You can hear the influence they would have on bands like Ramones, but also you could hear the influence they would have on a lot of power pop with the melodies that were encroached on here. Not a lot of guitar feedback, not a lot of wailing leads. Mm-hmm. It's a much tighter sounding record, so much so that Wayne Kramer pretty much dismissed it upon its release, but he did acknowledge later on in life he understood why people liked it so much. I think it's a fantastic record, even if it sounds like an outlier in their very limited discography. I do love the fact that this song... I believe it was Lemmy from Motorhead talked about it a little bit.
Yes,
and he basically
did.
Said, this is a great song because you start listening to it and you're trying to figure out what are they doing? What are they playing? It goes all over the place. And then it kind of makes sense at the end, but then it stops and you're like, what did I just listen to? And he said he basically wore out the side of the record trying to figure out the song.
And a little side note I want to mention before we talk about the last track we heard and get into some more music is back in the USA recently, David Frick, famous Rolling Stone writer and critic, spoke and interviewed Wayne Kramer back in January, and you can find it through his Facebook page. He talked about this album. Basically, they started recording for Elektra, and then they were supposed to work with Bruce Botnick, who did work with The Doors, and then they got dropped from their label, and they restarted over with John Landau as the producer, recorded in Detroit. And anyways, yeah, Kramer said that actually he played bass on the record because Michael Davis was having trouble in the studio as opposed to the live record where he just set up and played. But anyways, and then we started off with Ramblin' Rose from Kick Out the Jams, the opening track on the album, which Kramer sings. A good way to start off this show and set, I believe. And
agreed 100%. This is such a great honor to do a tribute to this artist. I wish we would have done it during Wayne Kramer's lifetime, but still, what can you say? There is a great story that Dave was going to share, and I think this is about Hudson's. And
yes,
I think this is a good encapsulation about the attitude. I talked about how MC5 also had that proto-punk attitude. Please share the story, because I love this.
We should also mention their manager also was part of that, John Sinclair.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, Kick Out the Jams has swear words in it, and in the liner notes, they use the F word. On the album, they used the F word, although there's a bit of confusion after because some copies went out that were censored. But anyways, so Hudson's didn't want to stock the album because of the explicit language. And so what MC5 did is they put out an ad in kind of like an underground newspaper type thing. Not a mainstream paper, but a lot of people saw it. And it was an ad about the album, and then at the bottom it just said, F. Hudson's. And it sufficed to say that very shortly after, I'm sure that was one of the reasons they got dropped from their label.
From Elektra, yeah. And you know, I do want to say also, a lot of people know about Kick Out the Jams, but oftentimes Back in the USA and High Time are often neglected, and that's because they weren't on as big a label
as they were before. Was it Atlantic that they were on?
They may have been. We're going to
look that up
in a moment. But yeah, they just didn't have the same sort of PR that they did for their previous label. And also, they got a reputation of being kind of cantankerous.
Yes.
But speaking of a record of cantankerousness, we're going to talk about Wayne Kramer's solo career after MC5, because the band disbanded in 72. There was a period where Wayne Kramer didn't really do a lot of music, and then he did. A lot of this stemmed from him basically entering into just needing to get by in life. And so he did enter into petty theft and crime.
And drugs, of course, which I'm sure he would. You can read about. But yeah, he got arrested, and he went to jail for 4 years. When he got out, he started doing music again. One of the very first things he did is he started playing with a band known as the Pink Fairies, who some people may be aware of. they did a live show. I believe it was 79, 78. And there was no real record of it. And then many years later, multi-track tape came into... Wayne Kramer found it, or someone found it close to the band, and then it got released through a label, not necessarily their official label at the time, but another label put it out. And it's Wayne Kramer and the Pink Fairies, and it's basically a live show with Kramer and the band, and then two demos that they did. So we're going to hear a track from this album. It's called Cocaine Blues, but it's actually a cover of a Mose Allison song. Of course, it's not a jazz song. They rock it up. Mm-hmm.
But as you said, this portrays the jazz influence Kramer had, which really bled into his sound, making it so unique. And then, speaking of unique sounds, we're going to talk about, just briefly, what came thereafter. A little project called Gang War, which is kind of a nebulous project. There's been a lot of hands involved in it, but what was really interesting was the involvement of a fellow punk rock icon, Johnny Thunders.
Yeah, so it was Johnny Thunders and Wayne Kramer formed a band. It didn't last very long for a variety of reasons. They had trouble keeping it together for reasons we won't get into. But
you could probably use your imagination.
But they did a lot of live shows, and they did some demos, but they never really were officially released. So we're going to actually hear a pair of tracks. We're going to hear a demo that they did, and then we're also going to hear a live recording that came out in 2014 called Gang War, Johnny Thunders and Wayne Kramer's Gang War, and it came out, I believe, on a Record Store Day release. So we're going to hear those, we're going to get into that, and then some more MC5 music. So stay tuned. You are listening to Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM and syndicating throughout Canada. This is Wayne Kramer with the Pink Fairies, and If You're Going to the City.
If you're going up to the city... You better have some cash. If you're going up to the city, have some cash. Because the people in the city don't mess around with trash. Ooh, yeah. Get up.
You are tuned into CJAM 99.1 FM and listening to Theme Month here at Revolution Rock. This is Adam and Dave, and we are paying tribute to Wayne Kramer, the great guitarist, best known for his work in the MC5, but definitely has had quite a career thereafter. Later on, we're going to get into some solo work from Wayne Kramer, but that previous set we heard featured him collaborating in some other groups. And we should note, there's many, many more that he worked with. He worked with a number of other artists beyond who we just played. Some of them include Bad Religion, Was Not. There's so many to name as well. Mad for the Racket, Dodge Main. But what we highlighted was two particular groups. The last one we heard two tracks from, Very Hard to Come Across, featuring the late, great Johnny Thunders.
Yeah, Gang War was a brief band that existed for a short period of time with Wayne Kramer and Johnny Thunders. They played a lot of live shows around the Detroit area and different parts. And we heard a track called Hey Thanks, which was an original that Kramer wrote and sang. And that comes from the Johnny Thunders and Wayne Kramer's Gang War live album, which came out in 2014. And it was actually a compilation of tracks that was recorded in 1980 in Toronto and also Boston, I believe. And
which is the most Canadian of all American cities, as we know.
Toronto?
Boston.
Oh, yes, of course. And yeah, so we heard that. And then we heard one of the demos. There's a bunch of CDs out there and a lot of live bootlegs of this band. They're not always the best quality, but we found some really decent quality. If you can find this compilation called Crime of the Century, which came out, I believe, in the 90s.
96.
Yeah.
That's when it was published. And we heard the title track from that collection of demos and recordings from Gang War, that really ill-fated, short-lived group that would have been kind of a punk rock supergroup if they would have lasted longer. But lo and behold, it wasn't meant to be. Before that, we did hear a group that had a little bit more of a lifespan than Gang War, even though they probably had less notoriety. Now, definitely not so much the Pink Fairies, which was the group that Wayne Kramer played with, but his work with the Pink Fairies certainly didn't last too long. What we heard was actually a live recording from 1979.
Yeah, I think he just played live with them maybe a few times, and that might have been it. And it was the first thing he did after he got out of jail, and he played this live show. And it was documented on this recording that eventually came out. So it's Wayne Kramer and the Pink Fairies. I believe it came out in early 2000s. And Cocaine Blues was the name of the album. The song we heard was them doing a version of a Mose Allison song called If You're Going to the City. Maybe mixing up the name of that song, but it's close to that.
And it never was really officially released. Keep in mind, a lot of these were, unfortunately, only available through bootlegs, aside from maybe the last track, which had an official release. There's different variant titles and whatnot given to these songs. So whatever way you can find them, they're fantastic renditions. Now, outside of this, Wayne Kramer had some official studio recordings, and we're going to get to some of that solo stuff later on. But up next, let's return to the band that he made his name with, the MC5, and let's play what is arguably their best-known song, but we're going to play it with a twist.
Yes, different version of Kick Out the Jams. Now, when the album was released, yes, everyone knows that live version. It's the definitive version of the song. But in 1969, there was a single version that was released, never repressed to my knowledge, that had another song from the album proper on it. But it's a different version of Kick Out the Jams. Now, it's not explicitly explained what it is, but you can tell it's different. And in the notes that I've read over on a few things online, it apparently was recorded during the rehearsals when they were setting up the equipment to record these live shows. So it's a little bit different, although it sounds very similar, but you can tell it's different if you listen to both back to back. But maybe if you're not paying complete attention, you might not recognize it.
Well, shame on you if you're not.
You should pay attention.
Pay attention. We're also going to be playing, speaking of alternative versions, we're going to be playing Tonight. Now, this song is probably best known for its version on Back in the USA, but you're playing an alternative version of it.
Yeah, from the compilation, I believe, came out in 98-99. Wayne Kramer helped assemble this. It's called Babes in Arms. And this version of Tonight actually has an intro that they cut for the album, and this is a remix as well. So it has more guitar in it, and we're going to hear that. And then a few other tracks and some more rare tracks as well. So let's get to it. We're going to start off with this other version of Kick Out the Jams. And I believe because there were versions of the first album put out where they put the words brother and sisters in there instead of the MF word.
Well, actually, there's versions that it has both. The CD version that we're hearing right now actually has that. But yeah, this one, it's a little bit different, and we're just going to get to that. Before we do, though, Dave, we do want to remind people it's the month, and that means throughout the rest of February, we're going to have specials airing. Next week, we want people to tune in because we're going to be having a special interview with none other than a familiar face to the show.
Yeah, Dion Lunanen, who's played in numerous bands, most notably the D4, which was a garage band from New Zealand in the early 2000s. And then also he played bass in A Place to Bury Strangers for many years when he relocated to New York. And he does some solo stuff that gets put out through In the Red. So we're going to hear a collection of stuff from his solo discography and other things he did, in addition to an interview with Dion as well.
That's right. The week after, we're going to be doing our annual surf special, and then we're actually extending theme month. You know, leap year, we'll give it another week, and we're going to be having an exclusive interview with Madeline Link from PAX. So that's all coming up, so stay tuned for that. But as Dave, you promised, here is an alternative version of Kick Out the Jams by the MC5.
Kick out the jams, brothers and sisters! Bye.
Out Night, a charity event. It is a special evening of performances dedicated to supporting those impacted by the recent 2024 North Peninsula earthquake. All proceeds from this event will go directly to the Consulate General of Japan in Vancouver, who will ensure that the funds reach the affected communities. Your attendance and contributions will make a meaningful difference in providing relief and assistance to those in need. On Saturday, February 17th, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Nikkei National Museum and Cultural Center, 6688 South Oaks Crescent, Burnaby, B.C. The Nikkei National Museum and Cultural Center also call for volunteers in this event. If you are interested, please email bc.japan.friendship@gmail.com and visit https://center.nikkeipress.org/events/notnight or call 604-777-7000 for more information.